محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل دلالة في النار. Today's lesson, inshaAllah ta'ala, will be dealing with a topic that concerns the aqeedah of the Muslims, as well as some aspects of the history of al-Islam. We want to talk today, inshaAllah ta'ala, about the similarities that we find between the Jews and the Shiite. And when we say the Shiite here, we know that the Shiite are different types. There are the type of Shiite who are kuffar, they're outside of Islam, and they're the types of Shiite who their aqidah and the things that they believe in do not take them outside of Islam. We're going to concern ourselves with those Shiites who their aqidah takes them outside of Islam. And these Shiites are known as al-Rafida, or the Ithna Ashara. The Rafida are the people who are in Iran now, but their history goes all the way back to the time of the Sahaba. Before going into these similarities, I think we need to set the stage to give some historical background about how these things have come about. How the Shiite are a group of people who resemble the Jews more than they resemble al-Islam and the Muslims. There was a man by the name of Abdullah ibn Saba. He was a munafiq. He disbelieved in al-Islam inwardly, but outwardly he perpetrated the fraud and pretended to be a Muslim so as to try and destroy al-Islam from within. Because as we mentioned in many tapes previously, the kuffar, they saw that it was impossible for them to defeat the Muslims on the battlefield. No matter how many numbers they had, no matter how well they were prepared to go into battle, whatever the case was, the kuffar found it very difficult to defeat the Muslims on the battlefield. So they realized that the best way to defeat these people was by defeating them from within, by changing those things that the Muslims understand as far as their religion goes, as well as by introducing foreign ideas that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't come with. So this man Abdullah ibn Saba, who was a Jew from Yemen, after claiming his al-Islam, he began to try to destroy al-Islam from within. So what he did was he brought a lot of the teachings and a lot of the beliefs that the Jews have in their religion. Some of them I mentioned in this tape, the more important ones. But there are many that I failed to mention because of a lack of time. Some of the foreign attitudes and ideas that he brought into the religion of al-Islam is that the understanding that the Jews have that certain souls from amongst them have the ability, they die and they come back and they'll live forever. As well as attributing to certain people the knowledge of all things, past, present, and the things that are going to occur in the future. As well as some of the things that I'm going to mention in this tape, inshallah ta'ala. This man, Abdullah ibn Saba, who was a Jew from Yemen, as I explained, he said that Joshua, Musa, alayhi salatu wassalam, told him that Ali was the successor of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the strange thing is that the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he came and he called the people to al-Islam, he didn't mention anything about Shiite, not Shiite of Ali or anyone else for that matter. And then Allah Ta'ala took the soul of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Abu Bakr became the Khalifa. Abu Bakr as well didn't mention anything about any succession of Ali to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or any Shiite of Ali. After Abu Bakr, there came Umar, and then there came Uthman, and the same thing. Nothing was said, or nothing was even heard of about this understanding. But after the third Khalifa, Uthman, was murdered, and Ali became the Khalifa, this understanding of Ali being the successor of the Prophet ﷺ came to an effect. Because Abdullah ibn Saba began to instigate this understanding to the people to the point that he himself said to Ali ibn Abi Talib, "Anta, anta." He said, "You are you," meaning you are Allah. So Ali actually wanted to kill this man, but he was advised not to do so by Ibn Abbas, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because Abdullah ibn Sabah had a large following. So Ibn Abbas was afraid of the fitna, and he advised Ali ibn Abi Talib not to kill him at that particular time, especially in light of the fact that it was the beginning of this problem. So, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to deal with some of these similarities that we find between these two deviant sects. The first point is that these two sects, they have what's known as ghulu in certain individuals from amongst them. And ghulu simply means exaggeration, to go overboard for your love for a particular individual. Like we have the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are certain Muslims who have ghulu for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whereas they worship the Prophet. They ask things of him, even though he's in his grave and he can't benefit them by helping them to take care of their affairs. The only way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will benefit them is by them following what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought. The point is that ghulu is exaggeration. So we find the Jews as well as the Shiites are people who have ghulu or exaggeration towards certain individuals from amongst them. When we look in the book of Exodus, and I just want to say that I do not have the Bible in English in front of me, but what I have is the text of the Arabic. So I'll just roughly translate, but these things can be found in these books that I'm going to mention. In the book of Exodus, in the Bible, in the Torah, it is said that the Lord said to Moses, "Look, I have made you a god over Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet." We know that this is exaggeration, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, in Surah Al-Anbiya, the Surah of the Prophets, ayat number 25, he says, "وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدُونَ." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayat, "And we have not sent before you, O Muhammad, a prophet, a messenger, except that we revealed to him that there is no other deity worthy of worship except me. So worship me." So how is it possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to tell Musa such a thing? This is from the exaggeration that the people of the Jews have in Musa. Also, when we look in the book of Genesis, it said that Jacob had a wrestling match with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A'udhu billah. Ya'qub, or Jacob, it is said that he had a wrestling match with Allah ta'ala, and Allah wasn't able to defeat Jacob, but instead, Jacob defeated Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when Fajr almost came, they decided to stop wrestling, and that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supposedly had gave Jacob the name of Israel. He asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Yaqub, Jacob." He said, "From today on, you will be called Israel." And the reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala named him Israel, according to the Jews, is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him in this same passage, "You have wrestled with Allah, and you wrestled with the people, and you defeated them." This is a lie on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is it conceivable that a human being can wrestle with Allah? What kind of God is that people believe in, where a human being, whether he was a prophet or other than a prophet, can wrestle with that creator and then defeat him? So we know that Israel and Yaqub is one and the same person. But we do not believe in this story that these people have given. Another example of their exaggeration in certain personalities from amongst them is the exaggeration that they have in their rabbis. The rabbis, or the Pharisees of the Jews, are people who are known to have been evil people. For the most part, they changed the religion in its totality. But anyway, in the Talmud, which was not given to Musa, which was not written by Musa, it was written by the rabbis with their own hands, they said in this Talmud, they said, no, that the sayings of the rabbis, they are better than the sayings of the prophets. And on top of that, you are required to consider the sayings of the rabbis as legislation, because their sayings are the words of the living God. We can understand and we can see the reason why they will make such a claim and make such a statement. so that they can change the religion as they like. And it will be unquestioned, the things that they say and the things that they did. Another example of that can be found in the Talmud, is they're saying that verily Allah consults the rabbis, or he seeks advice from them when there's a problem that takes place in the heavens and the occupants of the heavens can't solve that problem. This is ghulu. Another passage in the Talmud says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala studies the Talmud at night time. So we understand from this that these people from the Shiite, they have exaggeration in people like Musa, in people like Yaqub, and in their rabbis, where they put them over the station that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed them in, and over the station that they deserve. As for the Shiites are similar to them in their exaggeration. First of all, the Shiites say that Ali, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the first Khalifa and the successor of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that he's better than the best, he's better than the rest of the companions. But they didn't stop there. Their exaggeration or their ghulu caused them to go beyond this point and to attribute to Ali things that, a'udhu billah, only a kafir would do. For an example, they said that Ali was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They begin to claim that Ali was Allah during his lifetime. Like the time when the people came to him, the Shiites came to him, and they said to him, "You're Allah." They said, "You're him." "Anta huwa." "You are him." Ali said, "I'm who?" They said, "Anta Allah alladhi la ilaha illahu." Subhanallah. They came to him and they said, "You are him." Ali said, "I'm who?" They said, "You are Allah, who there is no other God worthy of worship except him." When that happened, Ali burnt them. He had a whole dog, and he threw him in there and he burnt him. And then he made his famous line of poetry in which he said, "Lamma ra'aytu al-amr amra munkara, ajajtu nari wa da'awtu qambara." And the translation of this is, when I saw that the affair that they was doing, it was an evil affair, I kindled my blaze and I burnt them in my fire. So we understand from this that these people have actually raised Ali to a station that is above the station of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They didn't stop here. Their ghulu or exaggeration caused them to further go out of the bounds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set. They went as far as making up lies about the Prophet, attributing good virtues and superiority to Ali. There's a hadith that they said comes from the Prophet in which they say that the Prophet said, "Man lam yaqul Ali khayrun nas faqad kafara." They said that the Prophet said, whoever says or whoever doesn't say that Ali is the best of the people, verily he has disbelieved. And here is understood by them when it says, whoever doesn't say that Ali is the best of people, this people is general. Included in this people is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another example of the lies that they have made against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a hadith in which they say that the Prophet said, according to Abu Dharr, "Khulaqtu ana wa Ali min nur, wa kunna 'an yamin al-'arsh qabla an yakhlaq Allah Adam bi 2000 'am thumma khalaq Allah Adam." They say that I and Ali, we were created from light, and we were on the right side of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before Allah even created Adam by 2,000 years. And then Allah created Adam. Ishhada. What is this? Then we find some of their scholars like Al-Kulaini. This is one of the famous scholars of the Shiite. He's wrote a book called Al-Kafi. Walakin kafiyahu naqas. His book Al-Kafi is like the Sahih Bukhari of the Sunni Muslims. Al-Kafi to the Shiite is like Sahih Bukhari to the people on the Sunnah. Anyway, this man, Al-Kulaini, in his book Al-Kafi, he wanted to illustrate how the Imams, who they believe are infallible, the station that they had. So he wanted to talk about one Imam in particular. He said concerning this Imam, he said that this Imam said about himself, "Inni la'alam ma fi samawati wa ma fil ard wa a'lam
ما في الجنة وأعلم ما في النار وأعلم ما كان وما يكون. He said that this imam said about himself, verily I know everything that is in the heavens and everything that is in the earth. And I know what is in Jannah and I know all that is in the hellfire. And I know what was and what is going to be. This is exaggeration. Then we look at their imam, Al-Khumayni. May he get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what he deserves. Al-Khumayni wrote in the famous book of his, Al-Hukuma Al-Islamiyya, the Islamic government, he said, أئمتنا أعلى درجة من الرسل والملائكة المقربين. He said, our imams, these imams who they have made for themselves, these 12 imams, he said, they have a higher station than all of the angels as well as all of the prophets. So this is exaggeration, and we find that the Shiite, as well as the Jews, they both have this characteristic in their understanding of the deen. Another similarity that we find between the Jews as well as the Shiite is that both groups hate Jibreel, the angel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the archangel, the one who was responsible for bringing revelation to the prophets, alayhi salatu wassalam. We see that the Jews, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in Medina, the Jews came to the Prophet, as this authentic hadith has stated. This hadith can be found in the Musnad al-Imam Ahmed, as well as in the Mu'jam al-Kabir of al-Imam al-Tabarani, rahimahumallahu ta'ala. Sheikh Muqbil brings this hadith in his book, Al-Musnad al-Sahih min Asbab al-Nuzul. Al-Musnad al-Sahih min Asbab al-Nuzul. Sheikh Muqbil is a sheikh in Yemen, one of the foremost scholars of hadith today. He brings this author in this book in which he talks about what has been authentically reported concerning the reasons of revelations. Asbab al-Nuzul, why this ayat was revealed, it has a reason. He put this in his book and he claims it to be authentic. What happened was, in Medina, the Jews came to the Prophet because they knew that in the Quran, they knew that in their books, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had told them in many places about the description of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the description of his companions. And all of the prophets of the Jews used to tell the Jews that Muhammad was coming. Not only the prophet of the Jews, but all of the prophets from Nuh up into Isa told their people that Muhammad was coming, and there are too many delils on that. But the point is, the Jews came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they said to him, O Abu Qasim, that was the kunya of the Prophet, Abu Qasim. He said, we're going to ask you 5 questions. If you answer these 5 questions, we'll know that you're a prophet and we'll follow you. The Prophet ﷺ said, okay, that's okay with me, but what I would like to do is I would like to take a covenant with you on those words in front of Allah, as Ya'qub took a covenant from his son that they shouldn't worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Jews agreed to that. After taking the covenant for them, the Prophet ﷺ said, ask me whatever pleases you. He said, the first question is, what is the sign of the Prophet that we're waiting for? This Prophet who's supposed to be coming, what is his sign? The Messenger of Allah ﷺ said, his eyes sleep, but his heart doesn't sleep. They said, that's correct. And we have many hadith with this, the Prophet ﷺ telling our mother Aisha, for an example, verily his eyes sleep, but his heart doesn't sleep. There are other hadith concerning this particular issue. They said, okay, the second question is, what makes a child a female child or a male child? The Prophet ﷺ said, when the man ejaculates and when the woman ejaculates, if the man's ejaculation, the water from his ejaculation, if it overpowers the water of the woman's ejaculation, that child will come out as a male. And if the ejaculation of the woman, or the water of her ejaculation, if it overpowers the water of the man's ejaculation, that child will come out as a girl. They said, you have spoken the truth. They said, the third question is, tell us about the thunder, the ra'd. What about the thunder? The Prophet ﷺ said, verily it's an angel from the angels of Allah that has been made responsible for the clouds. In his hand is a makhraq, I don't know what this is in Arab, in English, but it's not a hammer, but it's something that you strike something with. He said he has this in his hand and it's made out of fire. And he drives the clouds and he steers the clouds according to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They said, you have spoken the truth. They said, okay, the last question, if you answer this correctly, we'll follow you and we'll believe in you. They said, there's not a prophet that Allah sent, except that there was an angel that came to him with the revelation. Please tell us, who comes to you with the revelation? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Jibril alayhi salam. They said, aha, Jibril is the one who descends with war and killing and punishment, and he's our enemy. If you would have said Mikael, who descends with mercy and prosperity, we would have believed in you and we would have followed you. But because you got this wrong, we don't believe in you and you're an imposter. And then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an ayat in the Quran in which Allah ta'ala says, مَنْ كَانَ أَدُوًا لِجِبْرِيلَ فَإِنَّهُ نَزَّلَهُ عَلَى قَلْبِكَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَهُدًى وَبُشْرًا لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever is an enemy to Jibreel, for verily he has brought this Quran, he has brought it down to your heart by Allah's permission, confirming that which went before it, and guidance, and a good tidings, and giving good tidings to those who believe. We understand from this hadith a lot of things, but what's important here is the fact that the Jews, they knew that the Prophet ﷺ was the Haqq. And they knew that he was the prophet that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about in the Torah, and that all of their prophets told them about. And there are too many dalils on that, too many proofs. But one of the clearest proofs that we can find in the Quran is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Ali Imran, the third surah of the Quran, in ayat number 61. Allah ta'ala tells us in this ayah, he says, فَمَنْ حَاجَّكَ فِيهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ فَقُلْ تَعَالُوا نَدْعُ أَبْنَاءَنَا وَأَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَنِسَاءَنَا وَنِسَاءَكُمْ وَأَنفُسَنَا وَأَنفُسَكُمْ ثُمَّ نَبْتَهِلْ فَنَجْعَلْ لَعْنَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَاذِبِينَ. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala told the Prophet, he said, if anyone argues with you about this affair, whether he is really sent by Allah, whether Islam is the haqq and he's the haqq, Allah tells him, if any of them, anyone, argues with you about this affair after the knowledge has come to you, then say to them, come, let us make dua on our sons and on your sons, and on our women and on your women, and on ourselves and on yourselves, and let us earnestly pray and invoke the curse of Allah upon those who are lying. When this ayat was revealed, the Prophet ﷺ went to them and he read the ayat to them, and he brought with him his daughter Fatima and her two sons Hassan and Hussein, and behind them came Ali ibn Abi Talib. The Prophet ﷺ brought these people to the Jews, read this ayah to them and said, come on, let us pray, let us make dua. The Jews refused to make this dua with the Prophet ﷺ. This is dalil that they knew he was from Allah, because they knew, had they made that dua with him, then for sure, what would have happened was the curse of Allah would have felt upon them. Even though the curse of Allah is upon them anyway, as many other ayahs and many hadith tell us. As for the Shiite, they hate Jibreel just like the Jews do. And a proof of that is that the Shiites say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Quran to Jibreel to take it to Ali. But Jibreel took it upon himself to betray the trust of Allah ta'ala, and he took the Quran and he gave it to Muhammad. So as a result of that, they hate Jibreel. And a proof of their hate for Jibreel is that when they make salat, whenever they make salat, because they combine all of their salats during the course of one day, they only make three salats, three times. They make Fajr, then they make Dhuhr and Asr combined, and Maghrib and Isha combined every single day. When they make salat, when they want to make salam, when they want to say assalamu alaikum rahmatullah, when they don't say assalamu alaikum rahmatullah, they don't say this, they don't turn their heads to the right and then to the left. What they do is they hit their thighs while they're sitting down and they say khana 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 al-amana, and this is their taslim. This is equivalent to our assalamu alaikum rahmatullah, assalamu alaikum rahmatullah. When they're sitting there in jalsa position, they hit their thighs khana 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 amana. which means he betrayed the trust, he betrayed the trust, he betrayed the trust, meaning Jibreel. So this is the second similarity that we have taking place between the Jews and the Shiite. And this point brings us to the next similarity between the Jews and the Shiites. And that is their defaming and discrediting the righteous people of Allah. And not only defaming and discrediting them, but also going as far as to kill them, to actually murder the righteous men and women of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see what they say about Jibreel. And Jibreel is one of the righteous servants of Allah ta'ala. And they say that he betrayed the trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him to give to Ali, in their opinion. As for the Jews, we find that in the book of Exodus, they accuse the Prophet of Allah, Harun, or Aaron, of making the idol for Bani Israel. When Musa went to have his seclusion with his Lord, the people of Israel, according to these people, said, hey, look, we don't know, Musa's been gone all these days, we don't know where he is, if he's coming back. So Harun, we want you to make an idol for us. So Harun told them, without any hesitation, bring me all the gold from your women, your children, your babies, and I'll make the idol. This is shirk. It's inconceivable that Harun, the Prophet of Allah, will make shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. Another example of that is Dawood. They said that Dawood, or his son Sulaiman, who they also accused of making shirk, when he saw Bilqis's beauty was so overpowering, he saw her making sajda to the shams, to the sun, so he, as a result of that, he made sajda. He began to bow and prostrate to the sun. Subhanallah. So here we have at least two of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These people accuse them of making shirk with Allah ta'ala. Another example of that is that in the first book of Kings, they accused Sulaiman of loving women. He had all of these concubines, and he loved all these strange women. Also, we find in the Quran that Allah tells us that they attribute magic to Sulaiman. In Surah Al-Baqarah, they say that Sulaiman made magic. And we also find that in the second book of Samuel, they accused Dawood of zina. There was a woman, supposedly Dawood was walking on the roofs of some of the houses where he lived at, and he saw this woman taking a shower, and her breasts looked like this, and her body was like that. So he went back and he asked, whose wife is such and such a woman? They said, that's the wife of the man from your army. So he said, okay, when we go to war tomorrow, or the next day, or whatever, put him in front of the army. He schemed and skenized so that he can get his woman. And they attributed to him zina. Also, we find in the Quran, and in their book, that they accused Isa of being an imposter. And they accused his mother, who was from the righteous people, of being a fornicator. So therefore, Isa was a bastard in their eyes. Then they even went as far as to kill the prophet. They wanted to kill Yusuf. When they took Yusuf out from their father's protection, they was going to kill him. But one of them said, let us not kill Yusuf. Let us throw him down in the well. So he was the one who was thinking he still did evil, but he said, let's not kill him. But they killed Yahya, they killed Zechariah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about this in the Quran, and many ayahs in the Quran. For an example, in Surah Ali Imran, in ayah number 21, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the Jews. He says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْفَرُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَيَقْتُلُونَ النَّبِيِّينَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ وَيَقْتُلُونَ الَّذِينَ يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْقَسْطِ مِنَ النَّاسِ فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Allah ta'ala tells us in this ayah, he says, verily those who disbelieve in the signs of Allah, and they kill the prophets unjustly, and kill those who order with that which is just, give them tidings of a grievous punishment. As for the Shiites, they are very similar to the Jews in this situation. Very similar. The Shiite, concerning the defamation of the righteous servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they said that all of the Sahabas apostated, with the exception of 7 Sahabas. Sometimes they say 7, sometimes they say 6, sometimes they say 5. Because they say these Sahabas apostated because they went against the bay'ah of Ali. He said that they agreed to conspire between themselves to give the bay'ah to Abu Bakr, when in fact they knew that the Prophet ﷺ told them explicitly that Ali was his successor. So they say that the Sahabas came together. The Prophet ﷺ has told us in the authentic hadith, لا تجتمئ أمتي على الضلالة. My community will never ever come in agreement or make a consensus to do something that is wrong. So these people are saying that the Prophet ﷺ is lying. The Prophet didn't know what he was talking about, because he's accusing the Sahabas, they're accusing the Sahabas of actually coming together to make this evil deed by making the bay'ah to Abu Bakr as opposed to Ali ibn Abi Talib. And we know that they say concerning the righteous servants of Allah, the wives of the Prophet, the mothers of the believers, may Allah be pleased with them all, that they were all prostitutes. And we know what they say about Aisha, that the Imam is going to do such and such a thing to her when she comes back because she made zina. I would like to mention a few statements now of their Imam, the Ayatollah Khomeini. Al-Khomeini, if we wanted to look in this particular issue, we can find a lot of sayings of Khomeini and the other Imams of the Shia. But I'm going to pick Khomeini particularly here because many people have been fooled by Iran. And many people have been fooled by what this so-called Islamic revolution that they had there, what it represents and what it stands for. Now, what I'm going to mention here is what has been taken out of the books that Al-Khomeini has authored himself. And believe me, I swear by Allah, I am not lying on the man. This is a book that the man has written with his own hand, and it's been translated into Arabic. And if in fact I am lying on a man, then know for a surety that I'm going to get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala my reward. This man, this enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, enemy of Islam and enemy of the Muslims, he said in his book. And the name of the book is Kashf al-Asrar, Kashf al-Asrar, on page 126. He said, إِنَّنَا هُنَا لَا شَأْنَ لَنَا بِالشَّيْخَيْنِ وَمَا قَامَ بِهِ مِنْ مُخَالِفَاتٍ لِلْقُرْآنِ وَمِنْ تَلَاعُبٍ بِأَحْكَامِ الْإِلَهِ وَمَا حَلَّلَاهُ وَحَرَّمَاهُ مِنْ عِنْدِهِمَا وَمَا مَارَسَاهُ مِنْ ظُلْمٍ ضد فاطمة ابنة النبي وضد أولاده ولكننا نشير إلى جهلهما بأحكام الإله والدين. This man said, we, the Shiite, we have no connection with the two sheikhs, meaning Abu Bakr and Umar. We have no connection with the two sheikhs and what they did in transgressing against the Quran and playing with the laws of God and what they made halal and what they made haram because of their whims and their oppression against Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet and his children. But we point and expose their ignorance of the deen and their ignorance of Allah. This is what they say. They said that Abu Bakr and Umar, this is what Khomeini said, is ignorant of the laws of the deen, and they are ignorant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another part of this book, Al-Khomeini said about Abu Bakr and about Umar, إِنَّ هَؤُلَيْ أَفْرَادِ الْجُهَالِ الْحَمْقَاءِ وَالْأَفَّاقُونَ وَالْجَائِرُونَ غَيْرُ جَدِيرِينَ بِأَنْ يَكُونُوا مَوْقِعَ الْإِمَامَةِ وَأَنْ يَكُونَ دَمْنِ أُولُو الْأَمْرِ. They said, verily these ignorant, foolish, lying, oppressive individuals are not fit to be in the position of leadership and from amongst the rulers of the Muslims. You can find this saying in his book, Kashf al-Asrar. I remember when I accepted Islam, I used to believe that the Iranians and Khomeini, all of them were down by law. That's what I believed. I really believed that. And then when I came here and I started to hear and to read some materials that were saying Khomeini, the reality of Khomeini is this and that, I thought that the Arabs were actually lying on these people because there was some animosity and enmity between the Arabs and the Persians, the Shiites and the Sunnis. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed me to stay, and then I was able to get my hands on their own materials that I was able to read myself. And now, I no longer believe that. And this is one of the reasons why I'm making this tape. Because I know there are still a lot of people who are affected with this understanding. I remember when I first became a Muslim, when we used to come together on Sunday, because we were still doing like the Christians, you know, Sunday was the day that we came together with the podium and the masjid and things of this nature. They still have that stuff in certain groups. The podium has to be in the masjid. And if the podium isn't found in the masjid, there's something wrong. Or if you stand up to say, let us get the podium out of the masjid, there's something wrong. Why? Because this is not what they used to do back in the olden days, where the people who were back then are still considered to be honorable and pioneers. It's like if you go to any Muslim country and you tell the Muslim countries, even here, all over the Muslim world, you tell the people, listen, this mihrab is from the Christians. It's not from al-Islam. This is from the Christians. Has nothing to do with al-Islam. The Muslims will say, you're crazy. They couldn't understand how would you want to build a masjid according to the Sunnah. The Muslims can't understand how would you build a masjid according to the Sunnah. How can you build a masjid without a mihrab?